A brand new fit looking cool, check. I'm looking in the mirror like, ooh, yes. A couple for an insecure dude, check. But she won't feel me and they won't like me. If I ain't in them J's or them brand new Nikes, let's dig deep from inside my psyche. When it's all said and done, even I don't like me. He live in the gym and his hair stay faded. Late model car, so they think he made it. He's Christian, he gave his life, but he still ain't satisfied in the Savior Christ. Still finds his identity in looks and cars. If he only knew that he ain't have to look so hard. If he looked in God, it may seem odd, but he be so satisfied he can leave it all now. Yeah. I'm not the shoes I wear, I'm not the clothes I buy, I'm not the house I live in, I'm not the car I drive, no, I'm not the job I work, you can't define my worth, but nothing on God's green earth, my identity is found in Christ, found in Christ. Hey,
how do I gauge success? What do I say I'm blessed? Huh? Is it the car that I drive, or the place that I rest, or the way that I dress now? Now, it's the cause of my pride, the stage and the set, on my face and the press now. Now, it's the applause that dies when the praise is less. If my face is depressed, then it's cause my volume of works and the volume of the work I produce in the booth. In the booth, it's a prize and a curse if defined by the perks. When the truth is through, it's through. Man, I'm gonna feel like I don't wanna live no more, no more, no more. Cause they don't like me like they did in 04, 04, 04. So I swallow my pride, empowered by God, I'm complete in Him. He's got peace, God's priest I'm in. In His presence, weak His strength, meet His kin, weak His brethren. Read this list, me forgiven, He's dismissed. Guilt in my sin, and then I find my worth, cause I'm Jesus' friend.
I'm not the shoes I wear, I'm not the clothes I buy, I'm not the house I live in, I'm not the car I drive, no, I'm not the job I work. You can't define my word, but nothing on God's green earth. My identity is found in Christ.
This thing's, oh, there we go. You guys, that was Lecrae. Who likes anybody? Oh, you're missing out. Lecrae has a new CD called Rebel, and it's amazing, and that song is called I. Am I, oh, I'm there. I'm there. Oh, I'm there. Okay. Okay, we'll just go for it. Give something out, let me know. Okay. So, yeah, that was Cray. I just got the CD. I love it. I don't know if you guys knew this, but I'm part. Okay. We're going to... There. We're good. Nothing to worry about. Money is under control. So, yeah, like I was saying... I do have a little bit of thug in me, okay? I like a little bit of rap. My man Nate right there can testify to that. He has a little bit of thug in him also. Most white guys do. But anyways, that song is about identity. If you heard the lyrics, he said it's not about the car I drive, it's not about the clothes I wear, but he's speaking about his identity and what he identifies with is Christ. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight. The title of this message is The Head Defines the Body. And we're talking about a teaching on Christ being the head of the body being the church, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, I have these whiteboards up here because I want to kind of take you through the verses that we're going to be talking about, okay? I want to circle some things. I want to point some things out. I want to show you how it kind of flows and how it goes together and how from the very beginning to the very end, we see God's plan in the life for the church, okay? And it's going to be really exciting. I'm pretty stoked about it, and so I hope you guys are too. I want to ask you guys a question. What defines your identity? What defines your identity? Or have you guys ever had a defining moment in your life? Now, your identity, what defines you? If you could say one thing about yourself that says, well, if I could... give you a definition of who I am, that's what defines you. Are you following me? That's what defines you. So I was thinking about it. We have some sports fans in here. Yeah? Yeah? Some of you guys tend to be, maybe it's sports that define who you are. You're the one that's always representing when it comes to the stats of your team. You guys always know the scores. You guys are always representing your jerseys, you know. You have the right gear for your right teams, the right season, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. You guys might say that your identity, to some degree, now fill me out here, that your identity somewhat lies in maybe sports, okay? Or possibly it's your clothes. It's the clothes you wear. You know, maybe you guys tend to dress more like, you know, you go to PacSun or something like that. You like those clothes. Or maybe it's industrial, or maybe you kind of have more like a Hollister to American Eagle feel, you know? And so those, your clothes and what you look like is what defines you. Or I like this one. And you know, I've been waiting to say this in a teaching for a while, because until I moved to New Mexico, I never even knew this term, okay? So let me share it with you. Well, I'll get to that, actually. So groups, cliques, you know, kind of things that define who we are. Maybe you guys are like emo, all right? You know, you're all depressed and, man, life's horrible. And, you know, it's just, dude, I just don't know. You know, you're like, hair's all like, whew. And, you know, oh, yeah, this life, life is just tough for you, you know? So you're emo. You're all emotional. I think everybody nowadays is a little emo because there's so much drama in life nowadays. Gosh, it's killing me. It's killing me. Or you got like a scene kid, you know, who dress in the tight pants, wear a certain look. They're not really a skater. They just kind of look like they are, okay? So they're a scene kid. Actually, we used to call them posers, but now we have a name for you guys, okay? So, to be honest. And also, we also have the skater, who is actually the legitimate one, you know. He's actually really representing, okay. And I'm just kidding with you guys. And then you have the gangsta, all right. It's not gangster, it's gangsta, okay. You know, you kind of like to wear baggy clothes. You have your flat-billed hats kind of cacked to the side. And you're listening to stuff like Lecrae, you know, and whatnot. So, which I'm down with. You know, you guys better believe I'm bumping Lecrae right now in my station wagon V-dub. All right, I am bumping Lecrae. That's my CD of choice. Okay, but this is my favorite one. You might be a cholo or a chola. Okay, I love that. Cholo chola. I love saying that. It's great. Okay, now and I saw one of these 2 days ago. I was in the grocery store and the guy was like shaved head, black rim glasses, kind of a long t-shirt, shorts down to here, with his white socks pulled up past his knees. I'm not dissing on the guy. I'm just, it probably was. You know, but he, I think that was my first experience of a cholo. Okay. So I'm not dissing on you guys. I really don't care what you wear. I kind of like diversity amongst people. I like the cholas. I like the gangstas. I like the emo kids. I like the scene kids. I like all that. I really do. And if my wife would let me, I'd probably dress like a gangsta sometimes, you know. But she's not quite going for it. And sometimes I like to wear tight pants, but she's not really going for that either. So, but, you know, I kind of try to get away with some things once in a while. But you guys notice that there are certain things that define us. And sometimes the very definition of who we are lies in things in this world. Am I correct? When in reality, let me just let the cat out of the bag. In reality, what should define us is Christ. And I know you guys know, you guys are like, oh, I know what Courtney's going to say, you know. So I'm okay if you guys have a look. I have a look. We all have a look, okay? I have Mother Mary on my shirt. All right? It's all good. But what I'm talking about is that in the depths of your heart, overall, in the deepest depths of your heart, what defines you? And as Christ being the head, being the one in charge, that we as the body should submit to the head, and that it's the head that should define what the body is. That's what I'm talking about. That's where we're going, okay? And, you know, maybe what defines you is the fact that you're kind of arrogant. Maybe what defines you is the fact that you are known to have sex with people. Maybe you like to dabble in homosexuality or you're a lesbian. Maybe you think those things define you and you want to be different. Whatever, it's sin. And what should define you is the fact that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and that at the end of your life, you have to answer to God. Not to your friends, not to the mirror, but to God. So that's what we're talking about. What defines you? Okay? So like I said, guys, the title of this message, The Head Defines the Body. Now, I want us to look at Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. Now, I want you guys to read this. It says, "And he put all things under his feet, every name that is named, but not only in this age, but he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, and that which is to come, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Listen to this. It says, let me kind of show you what's going on here. It says, "And he," who is he? God the Father, "put all things under his feet." Whose feet? Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about there. God the Father, Jesus Christ. "Every name that is named, not only in this age, but he gave him," who? Jesus Christ, "to be head." Now, who's the head? Jesus Christ, "over all things to the church." Now, who's the church? "And that which is to come, which is his body, the body of Christ." So he says he gave Jesus Christ, God the Father gave Jesus Christ to be head over his body, which is the church. You following me? That kind of is like a tongue twister, kind of. But that's what we're talking about. So he, God the Father, his feet, whose feet? Jesus' feet. Him to be head, God to be head, Jesus to be head over the church, which is his body. And it's the fullness of him who fills all in all. He says the body of Christ is the fullness of God represented here on this earth. It's the fullness of God that in the body of Christ, in the church, in Velocity, in myself, we are the fullness of God. We have the fullness of God. That's what we're talking about. So listen to this. Let me kind of break this down for you. I had to write it down because it kind of confuses me sometimes, okay? I get all tongue twisted and everything, okay? Now listen to this. It says, if Jesus submits to God the Father, and God the Father gave all authority to Jesus, do you think we would do well by following Jesus' example, by finding our identity in and submitting to Jesus? Because who gave Jesus to have everything under his feet? Who did that? Who gave it to him? God the Father is in authority, and it says that Jesus Christ submitted to God the Father's will. We're going to talk more about that later. So it says, just as Jesus found his identity in the Father and submitted to God the Father's will, we do the same. And by following this example, by us knowing this pyramid, knowing where we stand in life, that we have God the Father, we have Jesus, and we have the church being us, that we submit to Jesus being the head, being the one that controls us. Do you think that that might bring glory and honor to God? If it says that God gave all things to Jesus, the head, and gave him the body, the church, to have complete authority over, that would honor and glorify God. And is it true that that's our purpose? To bring glory to God and to honor God? Because so many times we go back to our identity, and what we want is to say, I want to be this. I want to be that. That's fine, but in the depths of who you are, who do you want to be? And who you want to be in the depths of who you are, that's what defines you. Be honest with yourself. Is it Jesus Christ? Is it your faith in the Lord? Or is it, no, you know what, Courtney? I would rather be a cholo than be a Christian. I would rather be this. I don't necessarily want to abide by what God says, by what Jesus says. That's the question. That's what we're talking about. Now, the effects of submitting to God's will, basically, what are the effects of submitting to God's will? That you would submit to the head, that you would submit to what Jesus wants. Well, think of it this way. You give up responsibility. Man, what a bummer. You give up responsibility. So if you submit to God and you find your identity in God, in Jesus Christ, you give up responsibility. Who here likes responsibility? Sometimes it drags you down a little bit. Sometimes it's like, man, I got to do this homework. I got to do my chores. I got to do this. And it's like, it's just weighing you down with responsibility. And God says, hey, you know what? Pray this way. When people were asking Jesus how to pray, he says, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we give our will to God, we give our identity, we give everything to Jesus. And we have no responsibility. He takes care of it. If we submit to God and give our will to God, what is your part? You listen to God and you just follow what his word says. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, well, what's God's word say? And there you go. You got your blueprints for life. And no worries, no stress. There's no question. There's no debate. It's simple. Do I have sex before marriage? No. God says no. Do I do this? No, because God says no. So there's no responsibility because God has taken that for himself. He says, I'm the one who saved you, and I will be the one who sanctifies you. That means I will be the one who carries you through this walk as a Christian. I saved you. I will be the one to keep you and to bring you on until the day that you actually obtain your salvation when we end up in heaven with Jesus Christ. Kind of like what we're talking about in the book of Revelation. When we get raptured, we get caught up, or we die before that, we go to meet with the Lord. It's God's responsibility to keep us and to bring us through. That's amazing. That's the relationship that the head has with the body. And we're going to talk about that practically, about the head, okay? Later on, about physically in our body, what part does the head play? We're going to talk about that. I think it's the best example we could use. Jesus follows the same example. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything him himself wasn't willing to do. He's not asking us to do anything that he himself wasn't willing to do, because listen what he says here. He says in Matthew 26:42, he says, he went away and prayed saying, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done. He's getting ready to approach the cross, die for the sins of the world, past, present, future. And he says, God, your will be done. He submits to the will of the Father. He says, God, is there any way? Well, he knew there was no other way. He was just kind of seeing, you know, maybe I missed something in all of eternity, you know? Maybe I forgot something in there. No, he said, but Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Now, so the church, and we look at the church actually in the book of Ephesians. So we're going to talk about Ephesians tonight, okay? We're going to talk about the church in Ephesus. We're going to talk about them and where they found their identity and how that relates to us. Because as Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus, he said certain things to them that are pretty much similar to what we're talking about. That, hey, Ephesians, where do you find your identity? Where do you find your identity? Well, let me read some verses to you about what he said to the church in Ephesus and where they should find their identity. It says in 3:19 of Ephesians, know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. He who descends is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. So it says we are filled with the fullness of God. It says that he might fill us in all things. And he goes on to say that, and like we've read before, that, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, who is his body, the fullness of him. Now think of it this way, guys. I have this Mountain Dew right here. Who likes Mountain Dew? Does anybody like Mountain Dew? Well, you know, the thing is, hey, take a seat. Now this is the deal, guys. Mountain Dew's great, right? But is it so much the container that really gets you going, or is it more so the Mountain Dew inside? It's the pop inside, right? Or soda. Pop. You guys don't even know what that is. Pop. I'm from the North, man. So, a Mountain Dew. Now, who here wants a Mountain Dew? A couple of you guys. Okay. So, can you guys catch? Right in here in front. Right here. Danielle, you got to get one. Take a seat. Okay, there you go. There you go, Kansas. Okay, now, oh, right over here, this guy right there. Don't let it drop. Okay, right there in the LA. We got LA back there. We gotta show some love over here. Okay, right there. Rebecca, right there, Rebecca. There you go. Oh, way in the back in the pink right there. It's all you. Oh, we got another one for you. We got another one right here in the pink. Whoa. We're going to have knocked some heads off. Right there, right there. Okay. Now I need you guys to open those up, okay? I need you to open those up, and I need to know which is better, the can or what's inside. Oh, that's great. I should have known that was happening. Go ahead and have a seat. You're all right. Just drink that up. You're good. Just sit down. It's not going to hurt you. It won't stain. Now, what I'm saying is, because the can, okay, let's bring it all back. I apologize. Everybody's like getting Mountain Dew all over themselves. The can is just a vessel. It's just something that holds what's really the trueness of what you're wanting, which is the Mountain Dew. And the same thing goes for us, guys. This is just a vessel. This is an outward facade, but what's real, what's your identity, should be what's inside. That's what we're talking about. Your identity should be in Jesus Christ, because it says that he fills us. We're the fullness of him inside us, okay? That's what we're talking about. Was that really necessary to illustrate it by going through all that trouble? I mean, I probably could have just said that and not had to go through all that craziness. But hey, that's what we do here, okay? What I want to do is I want to take this board, and I want to explain it. We got like 15 minutes to go through this whole passage. It's nuts. But we're going to do it, okay? Because I want to show you from the very beginning how the Ephesians found their identity and how they found their identity in Jesus Christ, and it brings us all the way down here where it says, which is his body, the fullness of him. The church is the fullness of him, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. So let's start off, okay? Let's just kind of get into this. I might bring this right here, okay? And we'll do our thing. So think about this. It says, therefore I also... what does he mean, therefore I also? Well, it means that therefore I also, I thank you, and I also pray. I also pray for you. So he says, therefore I also. What does he mean also? Why Paul and then someone else? Is that what he's talking about? Well, it says, after I heard of what? So why is he thanking them? And why is he praying for them? Because of their faith? Okay? And then also because of their love. So what defines this church? Because they were the talk of the town. Paul heard about this. It's not necessarily that he experienced it. He heard about it. Are you feeling me? Okay, he heard about it. So he says, therefore, I also, not only Paul and his friends, but people all over this West Coast area, this West Coast region of Asia Minor, heard about Paul, heard about the church of Ephesus and their faith and their love. What defines you? Is it your faith in Jesus Christ? Is it the love that you have for one another? Because so often, how many times do we not really represent God in how we love one another? We mock each other. We make fun of each other. I experienced a little bit of hate today up on stage. But I'll let it slide. No, seriously, how often do we pick on one another? Do we make fun? How often do we do that? Do we identify with Christ by being faithful, by having faith in Jesus, by having love for the saints, love for one another? The Ephesians identified with Christ. They were defined by their faith and in their love. And it's because that Paul says, I give thanks for you guys. Are you guys worthy of someone giving thanks for you? Are you worthy of that? I mean, would I thank you for your faith and your love? Or would I say, actually, you know what? You're a disgrace. Actually, you're a joke. You actually you're a negative influence on people than a positive, to be honest. What are you? You know. Do you represent Jesus? Or does your life represent something else that's outside of faith in God and outside of love for people? How do you treat people? Moving on. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So who do we have here? We have God of who? Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean? I thought God was Jesus. I thought Jesus was God. But let me explain here, okay? Because there's this thing called the Trinity, and they're in perfect union with one another, okay? They basically, how do I put this? They all work together. It says God is one in the Bible, but we see them having three different persons. And it says that in this Godhead, All right? It says that God is the one who kind of like gives direction, but they're all in unity and they're all equals. Because listen to what it says in John 16, I believe. Between 14 and 16. I can't remember. It says that the Holy Spirit only speaks what the Father gave him. Okay? Holy Spirit only speaks what the Father gave him. And it says that the Holy Spirit only leads people to Jesus Christ and only testifies of Jesus Christ. And what else does it say about Jesus? It says something else about Jesus. It says, where is that? Oh, let me read this to you. It says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but he gave all judgment to the Son. And he goes on to say, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the words that you hear, they're not mine, but they're the Father's who sent me. Jesus took action only as he was given to him by the Father. Jesus knows about submission. Jesus knows because he prayed in the garden, what? Lord, your will be done? Right. So he knows what we're talking about, okay? And what does this show us? It says here, let's move on because, you know, it says that Jesus was defined by the Father. And we go on and we're talking about what then defines character? What are characteristics, defining characteristics of a Christian? And where do they come from? Well, it says that God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you what? A spirit of wisdom. A spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. So he gives us knowledge. He reveals knowledge to us. And the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. So what is he doing here? He's giving us wisdom. Now what is wisdom? Because it's interesting that he puts it in this order. Because he puts wisdom before knowledge. And without knowledge, you can't have understanding. But wisdom is the key. Because it says, wisdom is knowledge applied. What do you have if you don't have wisdom and you just have smarts? You just know something. You're worthless. You know about Jesus. You know what Jesus says. And you know all the stories. You know what you believe. But if it doesn't necessarily affect your life to where it's acted out, it's worthless. If your faith does not change the way you are, then you're a hypocrite. And you just have knowledge, but you really don't have a true faith in God. And so he says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you. So what's a characteristic, two characteristics that should define you? It should be that God has given you wisdom for the knowledge of him because he wants you to have understanding. He wants your understanding to be enlightened. That's what we're talking about. If you're defined by these things, defined by Christ, then your identity is in him. Now, I said that not only are these characteristics, but they're characteristics with a purpose, okay? They're characteristics with a purpose. He's given us these things for a reason. He says what? That your eyes, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. And he goes on to say that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. What are the riches of glory of his inheritance? So, you know your inheritance in God. You're like, well, what is that? Well, we'll talk about it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? So there's an exceeding greatness of his power towards us, of his power. Okay? So the knowledge of God and having wisdom, that is what? Knowledge applied. It's knowledge acted out. And so it gives us a what? A hope of his calling, his inheritance, and a greatness of his power towards us. You guys, see, don't you love to be called? Do you guys like getting phone calls? It makes you feel loved, doesn't it? It makes you feel like someone's thinking about you. I love it when my wife just sends me texts randomly. I'm in my iPhone, she set up a, a meeting that I have every, I think it's every week or every day, but it says, I love you. Every day I have a meeting with my wife that says, it's strictly just for her to tell me that she loves me. You're like, oh, but it feels good. I love it. My phone, my leg vibrates. I'm like, what's going on here? I look at it. Oh, your wife loves you. Perfect. We love being called. And God says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So he's given us wisdom. He's given us knowledge that we have an understanding that we can know the hope of his calling, his inheritance. It says somewhere else. Now, where is that? Yes, verse 3 through 6. Listen to this. He says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. He says, we have been predestined to be sons of Jesus Christ. Well, who gets an inheritance? If you have a family and you have parents and you're their son or you're their daughter, who gets the inheritance? You do. You get money. You get stuff if your parents have anything. Luckily, what he says here is that our parent is God the Father. And we're going to learn about a little bit about the inheritance that Jesus has by sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that God has given Jesus all the riches that are in him. So we have an inheritance. As Christians, what defines you guys? That you have a knowledge that makes you aware of the hope of his calling? That you have salvation, that's what we're talking about. That you also have an inheritance? That he's given you things. And foremost, the things that he's given you is eternal life, okay? Moving on, and then also his power. His power, and it talks about it in the next verses, okay? In verse 19. Let's look at this. And we move over here, all right? I know this is kind of ghetto, but hey, this is what we had to do. It says, according to the working of his power. So according to the working of God's power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So we have a power here that raised Jesus from the dead. And he's saying here, the same power is the power that works in us, because the Bible says that we were once dead. We were dead in our sins. We were dead in our transgressions, all right? And because we are submitted to God, to Jesus Christ, because he is the head, we're submitted underneath him, we then obtain this inheritance, all right? We obtain this power. He goes on, it says he seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, seated him at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities. So we have principality, power, might, and dominion. He says, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's demons, angels, presidents, princes, you thinking that you're God, thinking that you rule and reign. I don't care what it is. He says, I've given him, I put all things under his feet. And every name that is named, but not only in this age, but to come. He says, I don't care if it's now, past, present, or future. I am supreme authority over life, whether you like it or not. You have a decision to make. Are you willing to submit to the head? That's what we're talking about. We're cruising through that. Now, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but it actually, we have a brain specialist in the house. And could the brain specialist please come up wherever she is? Where is she? Oh, there she is. Ariel, did you know that she's a brain specialist? Now, this is where we're going to talk about. This is kind of like, this is the ending. This is where it all goes down, because he says here that he put all things under his feet, every name, in this, the age to come also. He gave him to be head. Whose head? Jesus, right? Who gave him to be head? God the Father. Head over all things, the church. Who's the church?
Us,
exactly, the church. In that, which is the body. We are the body, so he's the head, we're the body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, Ariel, take a seat. Take a load off, okay? You had a rough day. You need something. We want to get you on the mic here, okay? All right, there we go. Is that working? Test it out.
Test.
Okay. Now, you've went to school and you've learned a few things about brains. and how they affect us. Because brains, basically, they seem, the head seems to kind of give charge to a lot of what our body does. Explain to us how that works.
Well, it's best to think of your brain as like the control center of your body. You have tons and tons of cells, probably billions of cells within your brain that communicate with the rest of your body. They're called neurons. The neurons send information. There's different types. Different neurons tell when to move a muscle. Different neurons identify your senses like sight, touch, smell, that kind of thing. And then others control the skin, so what you feel. And also if there's any chemicals in the air, they also identify that as well.
Yeah, actually, I read there's like 100 billion neurons.
That would be correct.
That's a lot of stuff in your head. In your head, your brain is like the size of a clump of cauliflower, is what I was told.
It is, but it's also the most intricate part of your body. It has the most bones than any other part of your body, and it also is one of the heaviest parts of your body as well.
Dang, that's pretty cool. Give it up for our brain specialist, Ariel. Thank you. So, guys, this is where I kind of want to pull things together, okay? Because what he's saying here, what Ariel said, is that basically you can't do anything apart from your brain. Your body does not move. You can't do anything. You're like a limp noodle, all right? Your head is everything. In the same way with Jesus Christ, God says, He is the head. So the Ephesians identified with Christ because of their faith and their love for people. God said, what are the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then also love others the same way. Love God, love others. That's what they did. That's what they did right there. All right? That's what identified them. And it says, God, the God of our Lord Jesus, so he knew the whole submissive role. It says that he gave us wisdom. He gave us the ability to apply the knowledge that he gave us. We know our calling. We know that we have an inheritance. We are sons and daughters of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And it says, and that it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? And this is the power that Jesus was raised from the dead. The same power that lived in God, that God gave to Jesus to raise him from the dead, is the same power that raised us from the dead, because we were dead in what? Our sins. Exactly. And it says that he gave him all authority and put everything underneath his feet. And so, guys, as the church, what defines you? What do you identify with? Is it God? Is it the fact that you have a knowledge of him and that your calling is in Jesus Christ and that you're a Christian and that you have an inheritance? Do you live as a child of God? Do you live as your inheritance is that you will someday go before God, you will worship God, you will actually lay, it says, crowns down. We're going to talk about that in the book of Revelation. Crowns down before God. Do you represent? Do you identify? Is it Jesus Christ, you being the church, is that what defines you? Pretty heavy question, a lot of information, but is that what defines you? I want you to think about that. I'm not here to condemn you guys. I'm here for you guys to ask questions. I want you guys to use your old noggin. All right? And I want you guys to ask, what areas in my life does God not really have charge over? Because if he is the head, he gives all authority to what our body does. Does he have authority over you? Or are you pushing your own will instead of God's will? And if that's the case, you need to pray right now and ask God to forgive you, and you need to change. So let's pray, and then we'll be done, okay? Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are a loving God, and you draw us closer to you, Lord. We thank you that you've given us wisdom, you've given us knowledge, Lord, that you call us your sons and daughters. Lord, that you have given us the same power that raised you from the dead is the same power that changed our lives. And someday, Lord, we'll go before you. And it's awesome, Lord. But if we do not identify with you as the head, and if we are not defined by you as the authority of our lives, Lord, I ask you convict us. I ask you change hearts right now, Lord, that we would recognize the sin in our life and change. We love you, Jesus. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.